Turn in your Bibles to John 3. That's where we're at. I didn't say anything to Paul. He didn't say anything to me until I told him this morning. He said, well, that's where I'm doing the scripture reading from. I said, good. Good. Some things we need to hear at least twice. And usually a lot more than that. I want to read verses 3 through 8 of John chapter 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I want to speak to you this morning about born from above, because Paul was exactly right when he read that. Except a man be born again, in verse 3, that word means born from above. Born from heaven. Born anew. Born again, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just been abused. It's been trivialized. And I don't like it. I'm sorry. That's why I don't normally use the word Christian when referring to brothers and sisters in Christ anymore, because that has been trivialized by this world. I like the word believer. Henry Mahan turned me on to that. I agree. Because that's what you get to John 3:16. That's what that's about. Believing. But I do want to introduce a very important principle today. Some know it, others don't. Most of y'all know it, I'm sure, I believe. But I think it is of vital importance when considering the scriptures, the Bible. And this is something I learned early on from the scriptures and from older believers, and it's my turn to pass it on. It's nothing new. There is nothing new. This is the same old gospel. And that's a title of honor to me. I like the same old gospel. Because there's only one gospel. But here it is. This new principle. That ain't new. Salvation is of the Lord. That's what this scripture is about. This is the beginning for men of salvation in time. It's not the beginning of salvation. That began before the world began. It's not the beginning of election. That was before the world began. It's not the beginning of the love of God for His people. That was before the world began. But there comes a time and there comes a place, and that's what Christ is telling this man right here, where something's going to happen to you, in you, in time, in place, and this is where it starts for every believer. That's what I want to talk to about, being born from above. I started in verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, I'm born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now it says it right here in the first two words, Jesus answered. He is answering Nicodemus's greeting. I'm not sure. I do believe Nicodemus was sincere in coming here. He went out of his way to come meet with Christ individually. As far as we can tell, nobody's with him. He was a ruler of the Jews without an entourage. That usually doesn't happen. If you're a ruler, you've got people following you whether you like it or not. And a lot, most of the time, they like it because they run interference for them or whatever. But here's Nicodemus, as far as we know, completely by himself, come to see Jesus and to talk to him. There are no crowds. There's no Pharisees or scribes. I mean, I could be wrong, but I believe in Christ went out of his way to talk to this man and explain this foundational truth to this man. As far as results go, we don't know. But this man heard the truth of God from the very lips of the Son of God. We do know that much. And John recorded this incident for our edification. Like I said, I don't know if Nicodemus was sincere or not, for sure. I do believe he was. But I do know this. Jesus Christ spoke the truth to this man. And nothing but the truth, just as he always did. Whether we understand it or not, his words are true. Whether we understand all of it, part of it, or any of it, is by his grace and by his work. But everything Jesus Christ said was true. Because these are the words of the Word of God. That's the way John started this book. The one who was with God and the one who was God from the beginning. And Jesus is speaking here to a man who was a master in Israel, a ruler of the Jews, an elder. I believe Nicodemus was a man who knew the law, who followed the law, who knew the scriptures. But Jesus Christ did not answer him at all out of the law, out of a response to his actual greeting. Jesus Christ immediately goes to the heart of the matter of what he wants to tell. Verily, verily, truly, truly, ye must be born from above. Except a man, unless a man is born from above, he can't see the kingdom of God. And I like the way Young's Literal Translation puts it. He can't see the reign of God. Because this is the man who's reigning. And there are those who will not have this man to reign over them, but that's only because they're not willing. He is reigning over them. They just don't see the reign of God. Nicodemus was complimentary. We know you're a teacher come from God. We know you do miracles. And nobody could do this unless God is with them. And Jesus ignored all that and spoke of what he wanted to tell. And I'm going to tell you something. That's the way of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. That's the way of God. It doesn't matter what you want to talk about. The message comes from him. The message comes from him. And he said, except, unless a man be born from above, he's not going to see the kingdom of God. That's a flat statement. You understand, there's no place for argument in this statement. There's no place for debate. I don't know if Nicodemus wanted a back and forth, but he wasn't going to get it. Because we do see his response here in the next verse. But in order to even see, you must be born from above. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, I'm not going to comment too much on this response, but I will say this. Even if Nicodemus was sincere and heartfelt in coming, I detect a bit of sarcasm right here in his response to Christ. It hit him out of left field. This isn't what Nicodemus came to talk about. This isn't what Nicodemus wanted to know. Well, that part doesn't matter. This is what Christ wanted to say. That's the part that matters. What Christ said. I think Nicodemus was insulted by this statement. You know? He greeted him nicely. Said he was with God. No man can do it. You're a teacher, a good teacher. Teacher come from God. And then you bring up this stuff without even acknowledging my greeting. I believe Nicodemus was insulted. Because Nicodemus wanted to talk to Christ on an equal level. You can't do that with the Son of God. He's not here to discuss, debate, or rationalize anything with man. He was here to declare the truth of God, the truth of His Father. He was here to do the work the Father gave Him to do. This wasn't what Nicodemus came to discuss, but that was Nicodemus's problem. Because when God is involved, what you want is not always even close to what you need. And if God has something to say to you, He's going to say it to you whether you want it or not. He will. Listen to the testimony of people you know and of people you meet that how you may have a good hope that they know Christ. One of the first things they'll tell you about is rebelling against this truth. I didn't like this the first time I heard it. I didn't like it the first time I read it in John chapter 6, a couple of chapters on. But it was exactly what I needed to read at that time. And I was fortunate that I went and asked somebody about it, and they told me, well, what does it say? You don't know how rare that is. You mean the scriptures mean what they say? And they say what they mean? Yes, I actually do. Unless you're born from above, you will never see the kingdom of God. Christ said that. Nicodemus responded with this, you know, can a man go back into his mother's womb and be born? Christ ignored him again and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Whether Nicodemus' answer was sarcastic or not, Jesus is carrying on with the subject at hand. His subject. This is what he's talking about. He answered truthfully, which means full of truth. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Christ emphasizing the seriousness of his answer, his words to Nicodemus, the Lord of glory speaking here. Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The first part saying, you won't see it. Now he's talking about entering it. But guess what? He's still talking about being born from above. He's going to get a little more specific here. That's what he's done. First, Jesus spoke of seeing the kingdom. Now he's speaking of entering the kingdom. But I think he hasn't wavered from his subject. Now, the first thing I do want to say about this, being born of water is not baptism. Okay? Forget about it. And tell the Church of Christ to forget about it, if that's what they want. Baptism is the answer of a good conscience toward God. Baptism is the act of a believer. It's got nothing to do with being born from above. Baptism is a wonderful thing. It's an ordinance of the Church. We are to baptize believers. And as a believer, you are to be baptized. But not before you're born from above. What doth hinder me to be baptized? The Ethiopian asked Philip. Dost thou believe? You believe. And forget about baptizing infants too. Baptism is an act done for believers only. Second, being born of water is not physical birth. I used to think this, Walter. I remember reading it. I didn't, you know. Because in the very next verse, when you sit down and read, in the very next verse, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. So it's not physical birth. That's flesh. That's flesh. I believe Walter and I talked about this a while back, that this is it. Titus 3 and 5 says this. This is the way Paul put it to Titus. Speaking of our salvation. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Amen. Who did it? He did. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I looked at that word washing. It's to bathe. The bath of the new birth. Regeneration. A new birth. That's what that is. The bath of the new birth. That's where the water comes in. And the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And that one always used to bother me, Mason, until I realized that they're not talking about renewing your credit card. You understand? Renewal to me. It's the modern connotation. You get these things in your head. I got a credit card. I got to renew it so I can use it later. No, he's not renewing something that was in us. This is the making new of the Holy Ghost. Now that makes sense. Excuse me. This is the renewal, the making new of the Holy Ghost and the washing of regeneration. That's being born of water and of the Spirit. And you got to have both of those as part of being born from above to enter the kingdom. It's got to go. You got to go. These are all, both of these, and the next one too, these are all what I call imperatives. Because in the next one, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit. Being born of the flesh is not being born of the Spirit. Being born of the flesh is not being born from above. Being born of the Spirit is what is needed, and the Spirit is not of the flesh. There is no spark in you to be fanned. Okay? I've heard that before. And they're saying it today somewhere, I guarantee it. There is no divine spark in every man. That which is spirit is spirit. It does not come from man. It's not working on something in the man. It comes from without. It comes from above. It comes from heaven. It comes down from the Father of lights. What's He send? Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Every single one. And believe me, being born from above is a good and a perfect gift. And in John 3:7, we have the third imperative. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born from above. There's no way out of it. There's no way around it, under it, over top of it. This is the way. As spoken by the way, this is it. Ye must be born from above. Marvel not. Don't be amazed. This is the way it is. These are the words of the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. If you're going to see or enter His kingdom, and that's whose kingdom it is, the reign of God, I do like that. Ye must be born from above. Now, how many times does Christ have to say something to be true? Well, once is the answer. How many times has He said it here? So far, three. I think we should pay attention. Ye must. Ye must be born from above. There's no way out of it. There's no way around it. And I don't want a way around it. This is the work of God. This is being born from above, born from heaven, born of God. If you would, just for a moment, look back at John chapter 1, verse 11. This is the introduction of John about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. He's the one that recorded it. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. See, believing comes in. But it comes in after.
Right.
Because it says, which were born. Past tense. You can't put the cart before the horse. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. You can't decide to be born. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. It ruins the illustration. But of God. So leave out the middle part. Which were born of God. That's what it means to be born from above, is to be born of God. You don't have anything to do with it. Christ keeps on going, reiterating this. The wind blows where it listeth, and because thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You don't know what the Spirit does. You might see the effect of it. You might not. But you don't know. It ain't up to you. You're not included unless you are included. And that's on the receiving end. The wind blows where it listeth, it goes where it wants. That's the illustration here. So is everyone that is what? Born of the Spirit. So born from above, born of God, and born of the Spirit. Guess what? That's all the same thing. That's all the same thing. Ye must be born of God. Ye must be born from above, and ye must be born of the Spirit. Or you will never see or enter his kingdom. Salvation of a sinner in time begins with the Spirit of God. It begins with God. It does not begin with man. It never has begun with man. It never will begin with man. Ye must be born from above. And everyone that is born of the Spirit, you don't know where the Spirit's coming, where it's going. And you never will. It's the work of God, all of it. Hear the words, the truth of the Christ of God. Ye must be born from above, from on high, anew. This is not a request. I said it before, I'll say it again. This is not an accessory or an add-on. This is an imperative statement. This must happen. Or it doesn't happen. If this doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. And it's not up to you, it's not up to me. Being born from above is not the act of a sinner. It's an act of God upon and within the sinner. Now, I understand how people say it, especially in these parts. where things are countrified sometimes. But neither you nor I can ever get born again. We must be born again. You understand? That's removing us from the picture as far as causal part. Receptive part, we're there. But as far as anything to do with the cause, we are so far removed from the picture as to not be in it. It wasn't up to us. It's not up to us. It's not up to us to help anybody else. The wind blows where it wants. And it does what it wants. Christ said it three different times, three different ways. Ye must be born from above. This is an act of God, not an act of man. Man has absolutely nothing to do with being born from above. How can I say that? It's easy. Because I can read. And the Spirit has given me to understand. That's why it's easy. That's the only reason I understand anything. But I looked. We talked a minute this morning about looking at words. I looked at the word born here. Walter and I talked about this, and he's mentioned it, and I'm going to do it again because it's important. The word born here, born of water and of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Ye must be born again. At the beginning, except a man be born again. How can a man be born? And John 1, where he says born of God. Okay? Every single time that word born is used, it's used in the aortic and it's also used in the perfect tense. But every time it's in the same voice. Both of those mean basically the past tense. But every time it's used in the passive voice. And what does that mean? That means the one being acted upon. There is an action. There is an action. It is a verb. But the one being acted on, the subject of that verb, is entirely passive in that action.
Right. Amen.
You are acted upon,
right,
not acting yourself.
Right.
That's what this word means. That's what born means. Mm-hmm. You can get that from the illustration, but evidently most people can't.
Yeah.
How much does a baby have to do with being born? Nothing. It's just around for the show. That's all it is. It's the result of the birth. Now you can't make that thing run on four legs because that baby's going to come out one way or another. But the only reason that baby's going to come out is because it's time for the birth. And the baby has nothing to say about it. We have nothing at all to say about being born from above other than I can say to you, ye must be born from above, or you'll never see, or you'll never enter the kingdom of God. That's the way it is. These are the words of my Lord Jesus Christ. Like I said, this is probably not what Nicodemus came to talk about. But he ended up with a theology lesson whether he wanted one or not. And we have it here for us today. Recorded by the Apostle John, translated from the Greek into English, and then the English kind of straightened up a little bit for us from Old English. Man has absolutely nothing to do with being born from above. It's the work of God in bringing in His people into His kingdom. And it takes the power of God to give life and faith to the dead alien sinner. And we are entirely passive in this beginning part. This beginning part for us in time. Of salvation in time. Now he's going to go on in verse 16 to talk about believing. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is still part of the conversation with Nicodemus.
Amen.
But you notice that this believing comes after ye must be born again. What an absolute coincidence. He actually put it in the right order. He is the order. It's His order. Believing comes after being born from above. Now, I guarantee you somewhere somebody's out there preaching, come up here and believe and call on Christ and you'll be born again. That's a lie. That's nothing but a lie. Ye must be born again. First. Ye must be born from above. First. Ye must be born of the water and the Spirit. First. Ye must be born of the Spirit. First. And everything else flows from that. You will believe. You will hear the gospel. Walter was talking about it this morning on the radio. You will hear the gospel. You will believe. Why? Because that believing's His work too. Now the question is, do you think this is good news? If you don't, you don't know Christ. Because if you say that, you don't know yourself. It can't be up to me to be born above, born from above. It can't be up to me. I'd have never chose it, Mason. I was happy where I was. I was dead in trespasses and in sin. I was an alien from the commonwealth of Israel and from the oracles of God. And I was happy in it. I was so dead, I didn't know what I was missing. I had no idea this book had this truth in it about the Lord of glory and that He actually is the Lord of glory. I don't want any of my salvation dependent upon me. And I can't have the beginning part because I wouldn't have had any of it. I know I'm not trustworthy. Let's put it that way. But I do know the one who is trustworthy. Now, this is how salvation starts in the one who is saved. Ye must be born from above. So what's the juxtaposition of this? If you are born from above, you will see His kingdom. If you are born of the water and the Spirit, you will enter His kingdom. And if you are born of the Spirit, it's because the wind blew where it listed. And you didn't know whether it's coming or going. Matter of fact, you didn't even know where you were coming or going at first. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. How does the Bible begin? In the beginning, God. How does salvation begin in time for man? Well, in the beginning, God. It's His work. It's His work. It has results, and it has results in you. And He'll go on to tell us about that. But that's the way it has to be, because that's the way Christ said it is. Salvation is of the Lord. From beginning to the end. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place. But most of all, thankful for You. You gave Your life for Your people. You suffered. Unjustly, but willingly, and shed Your blood so that we might be redeemed. Offered it to God and ensured our redemption, our justification, our righteousness, and our salvation. Everything we have, we owe to You. Thank You. Christ's name we pray. Amen.